last night that I want to remark on. And I want to remark on it because it surprised me the first time I realized it. And I think it surprised me.
I have no idea where he's going at all.
I think it surprised me so much because, like, the entire time I've known you, you are such an unbelievably natural and confident athlete. Like, so, like, athletic stuff is just easy for you. Hand-eye coordination stuff is just easy for you. You're gifted that way. You've worked on it. You're so good at that stuff.
Thanks.
Last night, we're at our pre-club meeting. We're trying to figure out some alternatives we could do to just, like, having a normal Young Life club. And somebody mentioned roller skating in your face. You're just shaking your head. No. I just happened to turn and look at your face as soon as somebody mentioned the Tri-County Roller Rink.
It's just not my thing, man. Give me a scooter. I'll go to work. But put each foot under its own wheel. Yikes.
Put wheels under Thomas's feet. And this unbelievably gifted and natural athlete who's just fluid and confident and just becomes the most gangly, uncoordinated.
It's the worst. For those of you who have never met me and have never seen me, I'm pushing 6'4".
Yeah, he's tall.
It's a long way to fall when a brother loses it, and especially on wheels, because you just fall harder, you know, like,
yeah.
And the surface that you're skating on is like you fall on a basketball court, it has some give to it, you know. You dive on a baseball field, it's soft,
the ground,
and I mean, I've never fallen while golfing, but I imagine it doesn't hurt too bad. But like,
you got cleats on, that would be weird.
So like, I mean, but when you fall with wheels under you, and when you start to fall, like, you just, like, I don't know. I'm saying you, I at least, like, I panic. So it's like you do that thing where you run in place for a few seconds.
You literally become like a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Yeah, that happens to me every dang time. And then you just, like, golly, it hurts so
it's
bad.
It's just so funny because the first time I saw this, I did a double take. We were at what's called Young Life Late Night, and part of, like, late night's kind of like a what churches call like a lockout, where instead of a lock in, you, like, go all around town all night long and do the different things, like a gymnastics place.
I'm still tired.
A gym, a bowling alley, whatever. But one of the places was like an ice skating rink. And so, like, everybody's getting ice skates and getting on the rink. And I'm just assuming, because I've known Thomas for a while at this point, like, he's going to be good at this, because why not? He's just, like, so good at athletic, you know, ventures. when I saw this dude on the ice, I was like, is he punking us? Like, he is
so
like, you looked afraid. Mm-hmm. You looked sad.
Yes. Everything you said so far is true. Also true.
You looked like every motion was conjuring not only all of your powers, but also just like you were completely terrified.
I can't.
So you just couldn't move.
I can't. I don't know. Here's the thing that happens every time. I will, you know, it's like, what, you're there for an hour or something, and like by the end of it, I'm okay. Like, I'm not gonna fall.
Sure.
I'm not good, but like, okay, I remember that, like, you kind of have to, like, push out and not back, and like, you can't lean too far one way or you're you know, just like, I finally get there, and then I don't do it for 6 months, and it's all gone.
Yeah, you know, yeah, or it's, you like, start over at zero.
Yeah, well, I can't remember the lot. I mean, every time we do that, luckily there's like turf fields in the same place that there's ice skating. So like, even if the guys I'm supposed to be hanging out with are ice skating, I'm just like, I'll see y'all in 2 hours. Y'all go do that thing. Except for that time you're talking about. It was me and this,
oh, bless your heart,
this friend of mine who, you know, I was like, brother, we're gonna do this together. We're gonna fight through. And I just held the rail the whole time. Like, I'm not falling and splitting. And also, when you're ice skating, there's a tiny fear in the back of your head that is, I'm gonna fall, my hand's gonna go on the ice, and someone's gonna come behind me and just slice that bad boy off.
Yeah, you know, those fingers, like, are toast.
Pow. And can you imagine? I mean, I'm just like cringing thinking about losing a finger.
Let me ask
right
you
now.
This. The girl of your dreams, it turns out that her yikes. Love language is like, is ice skating. Like, do you just go for it?
I guess. I don't know. I don't know if she can be the girl in my dreams then.
Like, what if it was, what if like for some reason you were to meet Nora Jones or something like that? Man. Just somebody that you're just super, super into. And then she was like, I do want to get to know you better, but like my first love is, you thought it was piano and jazz music. It's actually ice skating.
First of all, I would have to have a fist fight with Potsy before that we would even get there.
Dude, if you have a fist fight with Potsy, he's going to end you. He's Thanos for sure. With the Infinity Gauntlet.
I had a real, like our friend Cheryl, who we love so much. She said, we were just joking around the other day, yeah. Like before we started like church.
Sure.
And I like, and like the question came up, if you had to hit Potsy, would you do it?
Yeah.
And I was like, I think if I did and I hit him in the face, like if I had to hit Potsy,
yeah,
the look that he would give me, the only way to describe it is like, it had to be the look that Jesus gives Peter when the rooster crows. You know, like, it couldn't have been of disappointment. It, you know, it's like, yeah, I told you this was going to happen.
Yeah, I already knew this was going to happen.
I love you, but also I told you, like, I don't know what the look is, but it had to be out of love and somehow. So I know that if I hit Potsy, that's the look he would give me, you know, just like.
And if he hit you back, he would end you.
Yeah, I'd be done. I mean, Lee always talks about, like, he always prays that he gets to see the day that Potsy gets to hit somebody.
It's a prayer that I have that there would be a dispensation of grace from the Lord in which I would get to see Potsy deliver out one punch to somebody.
And I think it's going to happen because I think it's going to be me that he hits. And I don't know why. I just think it's going to be me. I've never been punched before, and it's probably time, right?
If you go ice skating or rollerblading with Nora Jones, it's on.
If anyone out there has any connection at all to Nora Jones, is she single? I don't know.
Who's to say, dude?
I get my hopes up. She could be married.
Folks, welcome to Ancient and New, a Bible study podcast. We already did get to the Bible in our cold open with Jesus looking at Peter and
wow,
the
we did.
Courtyard.
We could, yeah, and that was like Easter and everything.
Yeah, wow. That's right. Yeah.
What day is Easter? I don't even know.
What day is Easter this year?
Yeah.
20 April, I think. It's coming up.
It's the 21st.
Is it the 21st?
Because okay. The 20th is... 21st, that's Abby's birthday. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so it's coming up. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Ancient and New. I thought about this the other day because one of our high school kids that here at the church told me that he listened to an episode and he was like, hey, I do have this question though. He was like, it was good. Like, I have this question. Why do you call it Ancient and New? Is it because you're ancient and Thomas is new?
What? I haven't heard that one.
I was like, what?
It's not ancient?
No.
I don't, do you think people, like people who don't know us, know that there's an age difference between the two of us? It's probably pretty obvious.
I don't know the answer to that.
No, it's not.
Folks, you can write us in ancientandnewpodcast@gmail.com or you can find us on Twitter and let us know if you think that it's because I'm ancient and Thomas is new. It's actually because of a verse at the end of Matthew 13. We can talk about it another time, but this is just a show where we talk about some scriptures that have been kind of encouraging us or catching our attention, and we hope it's encouraging to you. So you want to get us started today?
Sure. Okay. So this is going to be out of Hebrews, which like every time I read it, I think, why don't I read this more? You know, I'm like,
sure.
Gosh, yeah. why don't I read this? Why am I not constantly doing this? You know, it's got so much rich information from like a different perspective, and like it's just like a cool way of wording things and like cool way of thinking about things. There's a whole chapter that goes through like people who have had just amazing amounts of faith, and it's like, oh, that's so encouraging and so helpful for me. It's like, right. It's so much cool stuff if you've never read it. It's also like there's not like an author's signature on it, you know, so it's like, oh man, who wrote this? Like, you know, most people think it's Paul. Some people are like, no, it's not Paul, but like, it's so cool. Like,
what if it was a woman?
Yeah, exactly. Who knows? It's so
yeah, it's very, very cool.
So neat. But like, so I've been reading through it, and like a lot of what I've been reading up to this has been talking about, the price Jesus paid and like what we get out of it and like what it means for us and, how like he died once and for all for us and what it means as far as like, our eternity and our life and how we don't have to, you know, whatever, in order to speak to God anymore. We don't have to pay for our sins with some animal's blood because Christ, it's just like all these cool things that are like, wow, this is lining up great unintentionally with Easter. Like I wasn't Easter, let me like.
Yeah, because we're in the season of Lent. This wasn't like a Lent devotional for you.
Yeah, but I did. I read something today where I thought, okay, man, I kind of missed Lent this year. Like I didn't really, I'm not doing it. You know, like I'm not, and that's not like, oh, I'm not doing Lent. It's like, oh crap. I just missed it. You know, like
I like your rebellious not doing Lent voice. Like
man, that voice does not get used much, but, I don't say that if the people out there listening, like, man, I love Lent. Why are they I'm like, no, I think it's great. I honestly missed it this year. But I did think like, okay, there's a few things out of what I just read that I think I'm going to apply them to the rest of Lent for my Lent. Like I know we've got 20 days left or something like that. Like we're at halftime right now. Yeah. So like, you know, at halftime, the speech make that I just got from the coach is this. So this is from Hebrews chapter 10. And it says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give there's four of them. I said there was three. Wow. Okay. Plot twist. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But five, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. So I like there's like five things in there, which I said four and five because I told Lee, there's like these three things that say let us and then something really cool. And I either didn't pay attention to them the first time I read them, or I was so caught up in the other ones that I missed them. But there's
I'm gonna go with part B there.
Yeah, yeah. So there's like these statements in here. Let us blank, let us blank, let us blank. Like, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full of assurance of faith. I'm like, man, what a beautiful thing for me to do the rest of Lent. Whatever it takes for me to draw near to God, whatever that looks like in my life, I need to do it, you know? For me, there's been seasons. I was sitting with a friend recently who I love dearly and who is a listener of our podcast. And we just had this conversation about like spending time with Jesus. And I was like, man, there are times in my life when that, like, for some reason, sitting down with the Bible is just not doing it for me. So I got to go on a run for 30 minutes and, like, you know, read a verse before I do it and think about it for 30 minutes and see, you know, just like.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes for the next 20 days of this thing, I'm going to do whatever it takes to draw near to the Lord with a sincere heart, not one of like, you know, vapid words of prayer and all this. Like I'm going to do it sincerely and tell him whatever I need to tell him and listen to whatever he has to say to me. It also says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises faithful. Like, man, let me, as best I can, hold on to all the promises he has for me because he's faithful, he's reliable, he's trustworthy. Like, what he says he's going to do, he's going to do. For the next 20 days, let me trust the fact that the Lord has something for me. He says he's going to do it. Whatever that is, let me just hold on to that as tight as I can. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Wow. Spurring one another on. Such a cool thought. Like I work with horses. People know this about me. Not really like hand to hand with horses. I work with people who work with horses. And like spurs are, you know, they go on the back of your cowboy boots and you kick a horse in the gut and it like,
let's go,
nudges it on, you know, like, man, sometimes in a friendship, a spurring conversation can be tough to like push someone towards the Lord. That may mean, dang, I need to have a hard conversation in my friendship. It may just mean, man, I just need to keep encouraging people, which is the next thing. Well, let us not give up meeting together, and which some of us have the habit of doing, and encourage one another. Like in my friendships, what if I just like went after it and like, man, pursued my friends and loved and encouraged them and spurred them where I needed to spur them and like took a spurring where I needed to be spurred, you know, where my friends need to just kick me in the gut and get me going. Like, do it. I'm ready for it for the next 20 days. Actually, for the rest of my life, it would be awesome. For the next 20 days, it would be amazing. I mean, I've got like, what time is it right now? 2:30. I'm probably going to go to bed at 11:45 tonight. Like,
right.
What if I made it the next 9 hours of my day to decide like, okay, here's what I'm going to do today. This is super clear and super thoughtful. I feel like the Lord has put it on my heart to do this. What if I just went for it for the next 9 hours and I woke up tomorrow and I went for it again? It just feels like a great way to end the second half of Lent. You know, like here are some awesome tangible things that I could do for the rest of Lent. I think that is super cool.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you pulled out this passage. In listening to you read them off, the thing that stuck out to me the most was just this kind of collective, like the nosotros, the let us,
you.
The community, like the, you know, just this plural us,
yeah,
thing that sets up all of these little things. Because there's a, I don't know, it's like if I decide I'm going to start working out. I remember like when I was in college, every time I had ever worked out in my life was because I was part of a team,
mm-hmm.
and we had to do it. I had never worked out on my own in my entire life.
Right.
And I remember I got to college and all of a sudden, here I am. Nobody's telling me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether or not I study is on me. Whether or not I go to class, it's on me. Whether or not I eat food is on me.
Yeah.
Or I just save those bonus bucks and whatever. That's all on me. And so for the first time in my life, I'm like deciding to do some of these things by myself. My roommate, Charlie, who is still one of my dearest friends in the whole world, he was like, let's go work out together. And I was like, okay. And all of a sudden we started going together. And it was the going together that made it a consistent thing.
Right.
That we decided we're going to stack hands and do this. And that was that there's a little bit of accountability in there. There's a little bit of intentionality. There's a little bit of like, if I don't go, I might be letting you down a little bit because you right. wanted to do this too. If I am really pumped about going and you're not as pumped about going, you're more likely to go because I'm excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
We give each other more gas in the tank
mm-hmm.
to do the thing that we both had decided before that we wanted to do. I love the community aspect of some of these things, that there's some intentionality behind like, let's meet together, let's encourage one another, let's spur each other, let's draw near to God. And then, but there's this extra oomph behind us deciding together, let's stack hands and do this together.
Mm-hmm.
Not just me on my own, but like, I want this, you want this, let's run together.
Right.
Our friend Tom just did a half marathon as part of a marathon team and they all like ran a leg or whatever. And his part of the marathon was done in time for him to get back and come to church. It was a Sunday morning race, but he wasn't at church because he was on a team.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed till the end. And then they all crossed the finish line together.
Oh, that's cool.
Like no matter what leg you run, you jump back in and cross the finish line together. And you stay and cheer on your teammates. And like, I love the way that whoever wrote this, the way that they wrote that us tense, let right. us do this together. Because when we decide to do that, and even though like folks that listen to this podcast, we might not be connected geographically. We might not be connected face to face, but for, you know, from halftime to the end of Lent, if we say this, even as a collective, just saying like, hey, let's do this together.
Yeah.
Let's cross the finish line well together
right.
on this season of remembering Jesus and drawing right. close to God and meeting together and stuff like that. I love that community aspect of this.
I remember this is completely off topic, not off topic, but it's not scriptural. So if you need to fast forward 15 seconds, go ahead.
Fine.
But the first half marathon I ran around with my sister and you know, we had like half a mile left and I was like, Abby, are we going to like race this thing or are we going to finish together? She's like, no, dude, we are doing this together. We ran the whole way together. Like
yeah.
we're going to cross the finish line together. So we're like running the last little bit is like through UT's campus where I went to school and was like, you know, like looking around and pointing like, I had a class there my freshman year, I had a class there my sophomore year. Like I used to sit there and like read in between classes and like, we were like less than a tenth of a mile and I'm like doing this and I like turn around and she is full sprint for the finish
what?
Line. And I was like, and she was like, turned around and smiled at me. And I was like, I can't believe you did this to
oh
me.
Oh my gosh.
So the idea of crossing the finish line with a team means a little more to me right now because it's never happened to me before.
Also, I have to say before I jump into the thing that I wanted to share on this episode, that the entire time that you were reading that scripture and sharing those thoughts, Thomas is sitting on a stool in our recording studio, and he had both of his feet propped up on like the highest little rung, and both of his knees were together. And the aforementioned height that you were talking about that hurts you in ice skating, like you were just crouched up, perched on this thing like a gargoyle on like a like a medieval cathedral. It was amazing, just because you're so tall. There was just so much of Thomas was compacted into this gargoyle shape.
I was doing my best Potty the Parrot from SpongeBob. That's what I was doing. Patchy the Pirate's parrot. Anyways,
Patchy, which is actually played by the character who voices SpongeBob, right?
Yeah, Tom Kenny.
Incredible. We are going to keep the theme of kind of Lent, the night that Jesus was betrayed, that whole thing. I just finished reading the Gospel of Luke, and in Luke's account of the Last Supper, Jesus tells his guys where to go to go into the city of Jerusalem to find this guy, and then and ask them, like, you know, where's the guest room so I can prepare the Passover for my disciples, and then he's going to show you what to do. They go and find it just like he says, and it says they sit down to eat. And as they reclined at the table, Jesus said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds its fulfillment in the kingdom of God." This is so interesting to me. Well, for one thing, I didn't know before we walked in here that the things we're going to share were going to align so much.
This is amazing.
But they're going to.
We did not share a word about what, like, as usual. It was like, hey, wait, what are you doing? Let's make sure we're not stepping on each other's toes.
Coming in a little bit cold. Yeah.
Oh, wait, it's a puzzle that fits perfectly together.
Yeah,
this is
going to fit together well. I think there's a lot of layers to that, but, and there's a lot of cool things to get out of the scripture. But the thing that struck me when I read it is something that I had heard Tom point this out before, in preaching about these verses, and I looked it up just to see it for myself. But when Jesus says to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you, that the word desire is the same word that Jesus uses for lust. Like when he talks about, you know, like when you look upon a woman with lust in the Sermon on the Mount, that's the exact same word. But here's the thing that's really interesting about this. Not only does that word desire, not only is that the same word as lust, but like when Jesus said, I've eagerly desired, that word eagerly is the exact same word. Mm. I have desired with desire to eat this meal with you. Mm. Like I have been waiting for this moment. Mm. This does a lot of stuff in me. Like, okay, one of the things that this does in me is it makes me think, like, how cool to be looking into the face of the maker of the universe and the maker of every personality, the maker, the author of life himself, who's looking at you and saying, I have wanted to sit down and eat this meal with you. Mm. Like I love being with you. Mm. I love slowing down with you. I love sharing moments with you. And I have been looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Obviously, there were some specific things he was going to teach them at this meal and in this night. And it was a big moment. And so some of that is talking about that. But also just the idea of looking into the face of Jesus, who's saying, I have really wanted to be with you in this moment. Mm. Like, what in the world must that feel like?
Right.
And the idea that Jesus would feel in any measure that way about me, that he would feel like, I want to hang out with you. Like that's one of those things that's like, dude, that is an amazing thought. And if I were just to stop and let that kind of ruminate, the idea that Jesus wants to be with me like that, huge.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, you know, you're talking about as we kind of go into the last weeks of Lent and we move towards remembering Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, just like, and we desire to like go in with some more intentionality, like to draw near to God, to spur each other on, to all these things that you were mentioning. The idea that Jesus on the other side of that is intentional with us. He's like, man, I've been looking forward to being with you. Yeah. I am intentionally drawing near to you in this moment too. Like, that is such an evocative thought that, like, as I get more intentional about drawing near to the Lord, that he is looking forward to moments when he can draw near to me as well.
I think about how tender that is. You know, I think about him saying that, you know, we talked about this a few weeks ago, that, you know, how often I've longed to gather you beneath my wing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, man, that's tender. It's tender to think about him longing to be with me. I think about times in my life where I have felt distant from the Lord, or I felt like, I I've gone through like a dry period, and I have one of those quiet times that's just different. You know, it's like it stood out. It's been a while since it's felt like this. And I've had specific times where I felt like I have like told the Lord that I've missed him, which is funny to think about, because he's not, he hasn't gone anywhere.
Right.
You know, like he's there. He's constant. He's consistent. But I have had times where I feel like, man, I have missed you. I don't know. I mean, it's on my end. Like I have been, whatever it is, whether it's crazy, which, you know, I'm not really crazy, but like what, maybe I am, I don't know. But like that, or I've just felt distant from the Lord and I felt, man, I've missed you. But the thought of like, or like, gosh, I have longed for this on my end. I think about that a lot. I think about longing for the Lord.
Yes.
Longing for specific times with him, longing for specific conversations, longing for something that like I want him to say to me or to believe. And I've never flipped it. I've never thought about him longing to be with me. You know, I've never thought about what it does. I don't know. Like, I don't know if it does anything for him, for me to like sit down with my Bible and a cup of coffee or however you do that thing. But the idea of him longing for that time too is like it's a sweet thing to think about. Super, it's going to change the way I read the scripture and then for the next little bit, you know, until I forget this and then listen to it again, or until you bring it up again. And I'm like, oh gosh, I need to remember that again.
Well, when life piles up, there's a thing that happens with Christy and myself, like where life piles up and it's been a little while since we've gotten to go on a date or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the calendar clears and we make a space and then we hire a babysitter and then we hit the road. And there's this moment when we're like almost to Solway heading into Knoxville, you know, going out to dinner, going to a movie or something like that. And we're like, we're holding hands in the car or something. And she'll just squeeze my hand and she's like, we made it, mm-hmm. you know? And she's like, I have been looking forward to this so much. Or I say that to her, you know, and mm-hmm. it just like exactly as you're saying. I mean, what if you, the next time that you spend some time on purpose with Jesus, just get quiet in your own house or like on a drive or on a run, like you said, or whatever, that you take a moment to stop and think that the Lord's heart for you is like, I've been waiting for this moment.
Mm-hmm.
I've been waiting for this.
That's so cool.
The other thing to me that's cool about this is that it doesn't escape me that this is at a meal.
Yeah.
And like, there's a thing that's happening in for me, like when I was thinking about how the Lord made breakfast for his disciples after the resurrection.
Yep.
And he said, come and have breakfast. And then this dinner, he sits down and he says, I have desired with desire to eat this meal with you. Mm-hmm. That like when I sit down to pray and thank the Lord for the food that we're about to have, I have been like remarking that like, hey, these are important moments to you. Mm-hmm. So come and join us in this. Awesome. Hey, thank you guys for tuning in. We hope that like the rest of your Lent is super sweet.
Yes.
And, just that you feel that tenderness from the Lord. We want to go out today, because you mentioned our dear friend, Cheryl Butler.
Oh yeah.
Cher Bear. We're going to end on, Cheryl Butler's version of Give Me Jesus.
Oh gosh. Ooh, oh man. I see.
Which is this, okay, the gargoyle just got super emotional right there.
Oh, it's so good.
So sweet. We hope you enjoy it. And also, today's podcast has been brought to you by Nora Jones.
I just went to scratch my head and I remembered that I had a ponytail right now. So
that's by Thomas's ponytail.
It's very pony. Very small.
It's also been brought to you by the Infinity Gauntlet. Listen, folks, we're so grateful that, that this you have to listen back. We're so grateful for you encouraging us, texting us, writing in, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It means a ton.
Yes.
And we're super thankful to get to do this for you. Until next time, I'm Lee.
And I'm Thomas.
And this has been Ancient and New.
die is gain.
And when I am alone, oh,
surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord.
And when I am afraid, oh, when I am afraid, oh, when I am afraid, give me Jesus.
I want to know.
Give me
be ashamed, so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
And when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, give me Jesus.
And to die is gain.
Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus.
To my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord.